We've been talking about knowing God. Knowing God. Everything, really, in our life centers around knowing Him. Let's turn over quickly the same scripture we've started with several weeks, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. Paul speaking said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now Paul said, the only thing that I want to know is Jesus and Him crucified. You know, and we've read in past weeks how Paul, he said that he counted everything else as rubbish. Everything else is lost for the knowledge to know God through Jesus. Just to know the knowledge, have the knowledge of Jesus. Because if we don't have Him, we don't have anything. And we spent a few weeks talking about that. And today I want to talk about, you know, knowing Him and how He leads us and guides us on the best pathway for our lives. That to know Him, if we know Him and we fellowship with Him, He'll lead us and guide us on the best pathway for our life. There is no other way. There's not a better way that we could say, well, you know, God's way is one way, but I'll go another way. The best pathway that we could possibly have for our lives and for who we are and for our giftings and all that is when we follow Him, know Him, get His plan, and follow that plan. There isn't anything better. There isn't anything that we could come up with that would be better. Let's turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." In the New Living Translation, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Seek His will in all you do. In everything that we do, if we'll seek His will, God, not my will, you know, Jesus prayed, God, not my will, but Your will be done. You know, Jesus came to this earth with a purpose. Yeah, He had to consecrate Himself to the Father's will. And that flows out of knowing Him. When we know Him and fellowship with Him, then it's not just about getting things from God. It's not just about, like, He's some far-off being, and yeah, I'm saved, and I sort of know, you know, I know about Him, but I know Him. He's my mentor. He's my director. He's my guide. He's my life giver. So when I go to Him and I know Him and then seek His will, I seek His will in all I do, then He'll show me which path to take. He promised He would do it. He'll show me. As I'm following close to Him and I'm saying, God, You're more important than anything else in my life. Without You, I could do nothing. Without You, God, I need You. And so as we seek His will, what would You want me to do? Not what I want to do, because sometimes, you know, our flesh or even our mind or background or the place that we're being pushed, we want to do something else. We want to go in a different direction. But He said that if we'll seek His will in all we do, seek His will, put Him first, put what He would have us to do first in a situation, then He'll tell us which path to take. You know, you can imagine how many paths one could take in his or her life. You know, we tell our children, I mentioned this several weeks ago, and we tell our children, you know, do it. You can do anything you want to do. You can be anything you want to be. But in reality, I mean, that's true. We want to encourage people, our children, to be able to believe that they can do things and have a positive attitude and know what to do. But in reality, God Almighty, when we commit our lives to Him, He's already has the best plan we could ever come up with, period. He knows our children better than we know them. We might think we see some glimmer of ability or a direction in their lives, but He knows them. He knew them before we ever thought about them. Before we ever walked the face of the earth, He knew our children. The same with us. And so he has a perfect plan. Perfect. You know, we talk about, I took, you probably did too. I was looking over a, an inventory, an assessment I took in high school, ability, skills, all that stuff. You take a test, I spent like a whole day at this place. They test you on all these different things, work with you, see how your aptitude is in all these different areas. And then they give you this big report. And I have that report. I was looking through some of my files, a few months ago. And looking through that report, and it tells you what they think you'd be good at. Which area they think you'd be good at or not so good at. Well, you have an aptitude here. You're great at this. Therefore, this area might be good for you. There's nothing wrong with that. But God already knows that perfectly than any test could ever produce. He knows exactly. He knows your breaking points. He knows where the fault lines in your life are. He knows where you came from. He knows what you were told as a child. He knows exactly all that. So He knows what you can handle. He knows what your giftings are. And He knows, on top of all that, what He's called you to do, really. What He's anointed you to do. Which means what he's backing. And we can have natural ability in things, but with God's ability, it trumps any natural ability. I mean, Peter couldn't walk on the water in his own ability, but when God said, Jesus said, come here, he could do it. Peter didn't have that ability, but with Jesus, he did. But, so we tell our children that, say ourselves, find out what you really enjoy. What you want to do, go after that. Nothing wrong with saying that either. But in reality, as a Christian, in our own lives, when we look at, okay, God, not my will, but your will be done. So we know him. If we know him, and we put that above everything, to know God and to know Jesus, him crucified is above everything. Then, like we've said in the past, we're bondservants of him. He never is going to lead us down a pathway that would be bad. Never. But we look to him, and as we know him, we say, God, what's your will in this situation? What do you want me to do? It says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. All these paths, you can imagine all these paths stretching out in front of your life from this point forward. You could make different decisions with all of us could. We could choose different things. But he's got a perfect path. And he knows us. And he said, if we'll seek his will. See, we don't have to understand everything. We don't have to have it all figured out. We just have to seek his will. And he'll lead us step by step. He doesn't necessarily tell us what's going to happen 40 years down the line. He knows what's going to happen. But he doesn't have to tell us. He just says, we seek his will. God, what do you want me to do for this upcoming week, these upcoming months, upcoming year? Whatever he shows us, we say, this God, I'm putting you first. I really want to know you more than anything. I want to follow your will for my life. What's your will here? And it says he'll show us which path to take. He'll show us which path to take. Proverbs 3:6. He says that. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show us which path to take. Now turn it to Psalm 32:8. Psalm 32:8. God is so good. He'll never lead us in the wrong path. Psalm 32:8. God will never put us in a corner. He's never going to lead us in the wrong path. He will lead us step by step in the best pathway for our life, and he'll show us where he wants us. And it'll be good. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. See, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Not necessarily in the way you want to go, not in the necessarily the way your friends are telling you to go, not necessarily the way your flesh wants to go, not necessarily the way your parents tell you you should go, not the way, you know, some book tells you, but it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And he said he would do that. He'll instruct us in the way that we should go. And he says, I will guide you with my eye. God Almighty, who sees the future better than we can see the past, he says, I'll guide you. As you're going, I'll guide you. I'll lead you. I'll help you. I'll lead you. I like this in the New Living Translation again. The Lord said, it says this in verse 8. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Best pathway. I'll guide you. He said, I will advise you and watch over you. Just think of that. God Almighty. He's not some advisor we're paying. He's not taking some inventory. He says, I mean, can you imagine? Some, you know, we have life coaches. You know, people do that type of thing. Nothing wrong with that. You go to them. Hey, you come to me. I'll try to get you on the best pathway. I'll help you along the way. You know, think of what you're getting there. You're paying this person money. Nothing wrong with it, like I said, but you're getting a man's wisdom, a man's experience. You know, maybe he's read some books. He knows some things. He's helping you. But we have a promise from Almighty God. He said, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. Almighty God says that. If anybody knows it, he does. And this other guy, if we go to somebody, you know, he could miss it. It could be some, you know, we could be getting some of his philosophy or what he should have done or what he's read in some book for your type of personality. But God says, I'll guide you along the best pathway for your life. I'll advise you and watch over you. He will. I'll advise you. I'll watch over you. I'll be your mentor. I'll advise you, watch over you, make sure you're going. Make sure you're progressing the way you should. I'll make sure that you're going along the best pathway. If we'll go to him. It's not automatic, you know, necessarily. There's plenty of people that God has a perfect plan for their life, and they're going 180 degrees away from it because they don't go to him. They don't want to have anything to do with God. Maybe they've been told God, you know, doesn't like them, or boy, they had a bad experience when they were growing up, and they don't want to have anything to do with God or religion, they call it, or anything, and they think it's bad or they think it's made up or whatever, and so they're going over here. But God has a best pathway for all of us. We don't have to be like that. We just go to him, seek his will, put knowing him above everything, and it's not something that we have to struggle with. We just like we would show up at some advisor's place, you know, we just show up with God and just want to know him. And just desire to be with him. And we just chat with him. He'll tell us, like we've talked about before, on the inside. We'll know. We'll be led. He'll direct us and guide us along that best pathway for our lives. The best pathway. The best one. Let's turn over to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse 1. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. See, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord directs our life, unless what we're building in life, unless God is leading us and guiding us, it says that we've labored in vain. We can do things in the natural. Nobody's disputing that. People do it all the time. But eventually this earth and everything in it, you know, the things in it are going to be burned up. They're not going to make it. The only things that are going to really matter in our lives are what we did with our lives or what we did for God. And really that centers around people. It's how we affect people. You know, somebody said this, you probably heard it, a variation of, you know, of it. But the most important people in your lives are not somebody that, you know, ran a business. Very few of us know who the CEOs of most businesses are. Very few of us could name, I mean, unless it's really your thing, the greatest sports figures of any given day. But you know who your parents were. You know who, I can name certain teachers to this day. I'm older than they were when they taught me now. It's just weird to think about, you know. Weren't married or whatever. But to a first grader or something looking up at them, you see them every day, they have huge impact on your world. Huge. You know, you know who those people are. You know maybe who some of your coaches were. You know who your family and friends are. And there's people that have done great, great, great things that you don't even know they ever existed. And if we do things, you see, God will always lead us in that best pathway, the best way. And it will have to do with people. Because God is not concerned that much with material things. He's not against material things at all. The streets in gold, or streets in heaven are paved with gold. He says there's many mansions in heaven. What do you think all this stuff's patterned after in the earth? The most beautiful places on earth. What do you think heaven's going to be like? You know, think of Alaska and the Great Mountains or whatever, you know, the Caribbean, different things like that. The Swiss Alps or whatever. Well, imagine heaven. God's got great things. He's not against any material things, but the first thing he's concerned with is people. And how, you know, the most important things in your life, not things, but the most important, you know, things that are most important to you are people. And as we go along, he'll lead us in the best pathway. So it says, you know, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. In the contemporary English version, it says this, without the help of the Lord, it is useless to build a home or to guard a city. It's useless to get up early and stay up late in order to earn a living. God takes care of his own even while they sleep. See, unless God's in it, unless God is helping us, it's useless to, he's saying, you know, if you're trying to do something in and of your own strength, if you're trying to guard a city in and of your own strength, there's ways around that. But if God's in it, if God's directing us and guiding us, God's going to take care of us. He's going to lead us and guide us in the best way. It says, it's useless to get up early and to stay up late. How many people in this world are doing that right now? Working their fingers to the bone because they don't know what's going to happen around the corner. And so they're scared. That's because they don't know him. To go back to that, they don't know God. I tell you right now, people are talking about the earth flooding through certain things. It's not going to happen. If they knew their Bible, God said that would never happen again. And we either believe that or we don't. God made a covenant with man and said, I will never destroy the earth by water again. People don't know that. People are scared. Oh, it's going to happen. It won't happen. I can stand you and say with the authority of Almighty God, it will never happen. Because the Bible says it. The same Bible that tells us that we can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that. It will never happen. But, you know, people don't believe the word, or they don't know God. So they're afraid God's not going to take care of them. He told us he would take care of us. Period. And so if we know him and we're looking to him, and he said he would take care of his own. It says it's useless to get up early and to stay up late in order to earn a living. How many people are doing that? I got to work. It's all up to me. No, it's not. If we were on the best pathway, do you think the best pathway for your life is all toil and just so hard and everything? No, it's not. God Almighty says, I'll lead you along the best pathway for your life. And He'll take care of us. And if we trust Him, He'll make sure we're taken care of. We don't have to just work ourselves in the ground to do that. That's not God. That's not the way. We're not nothing against working hard, but there's a difference between working hard because you enjoy what you do and because you're just excited about life, and there's another thing, working hard because you're afraid if you don't, you're going under. There's a lot of people in the second category that are scared. They're afraid because they don't know their God. Or it's not their God even. They don't know God. But the more we know Him and we're putting Him first and we look to Him, He'll guide us and lead us. And it says, it's useless to get up early and stay up late in order to earn a living. God takes care of His own even while they sleep. He's taking care of us. He's a good Father. He's a good God. And when we know Him, we can go to bed and say, God, You'll take care of it. I don't have to worry about the future. You knew about the future when it was way in the future. You knew about the future back in the days before they had the technology they have now. You knew about the future before any of the financial things that were going on. You knew it. I'm in You. I'm resting on in You and in Your hands. So, Lord, I think I'll just go to sleep. You said You'd take care of me. You give Your beloved sleep. You take care of me even while asleep. I think I'll just have a good night's rest tonight. Go out like a baby. Because if we know Him, we can be confident that He's going to lead us in the best pathway for our life. Best pathway. The best pathway. Thank God. Thank God. Let's turn over to 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22. Second Samuel 22, verse 31. We can read a little bit more, actually. Let's read in verse 29. This is David. This is after David singing a song and praising God. Verse 29 says, "For now this is a king. He's, still waiting on some things here, but he's the one that's going to be the great King David. This is his heart attitude. He says, "For You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by You I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all those who trust in Him." Read verse 31 again. "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all those who trust in them." See, all those that put their trust in them. See, people may think that's foolish, but they don't know their God. He is proven. He is a rock. He is strong. His way is perfect. And we put our trust in Him. He said He is a shield to all those who trust in Him. I want to read that verse 31 in the New Living Translation. It says, "God's way is perfect, and all the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to Him for protection." See? All who look to Him for protection. He's a shield. God's way is perfect and all His promises prove true. That means when all these things we're talking about today, if we'll look to Him, if we'll look to seek His will, He'll do what He said, period. They prove true. He is proven. See, David knew that. David looked to Him. David looked to his God to bring him through. What did he do when he came up against Goliath? People thought he was nuts. I mean, think about it. We read we've heard that story since we were little, and we almost don't think it was reality. This man, I'm almost 6 foot. I'm a little under 6 foot. This guy is almost 10 foot tall, and I'm sure he's big. He's not wiry. Goliath is huge. Wide, And David's just this little, short, 17-year-old boy, but he knew his God. And there's a whole army of people sitting on the sidelines, not letting Goliath come out and defy the nation of Israel every day. And they're sitting at they're people that have been trained in war, and they're sitting on the sidelines, and they're the children of Israel. They have the right to go out there. The king, Saul, is not going out there, the one that's supposed to lead him. He's head and shoulders above every other man in Israel. He's a big man. People look at him and they thought he was really something. He's not going out to fight because he doesn't really know his God. He didn't do what God told him to do. See, God told him to do one thing. We're not going to go into that. But he told him to after a battle, to do things in a certain way, and he did not do it. He did not seek God's will in everything. See, he did it his way. It's just like what we're talking about. Now, we read back there in Proverbs, if we'll seek his will in everything, he'll show us which path to take. See, Saul said, I'm going to assume that God wants me to do this, and turned his back. You know, and God, and this is, we're talking about the old covenant, but God lifted his hand from him not to be king. David, on the other hand, looked to God. And he came out and he had experience. He had killed the lion and the bear out in the field. He knew his God. He knew God. And he wasn't anything in the natural. He's a short little ruddy boy. But he goes and sees this almost 10-foot giant out there, and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's doing this? Because he knew God. He's nothing in the natural. But he knew God, and he came out, and he said, this guy should not be doing this. I'm going out to fight him. Saul tried to give him his armor. Said, well, if you do that, you need to do it this way. And David said, I can't do it. I can't do it with that. These things aren't proven. They're not true. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the way that's worked for me in the past. I'm going to do it, follow God's plan for my life. See, you need to know that too. When you go and you're seeking God's will, don't look at the way everybody else is doing something because they're not you. God knows you. And he has a way that he's going to anoint you and direct you and your life, all of us, if we'll seek God. And so we don't look at other people and how they do it, because if we try to do it their way, it's not going to fit, it's not going to work, it's not going to get us to where we need to go. God, that's why we need to know him. It hinges on knowing him. We know Jesus, we know that it's all through Jesus that we have any of the blessings. If we have that as a foundation now, we go after it and say, now God, what do you want me to do with these years in my life? And so I go through and I say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And then he'll guide us the way he has the best pathway for our life. And that's not going to necessarily look like the best pathway for our neighbor's life. So David comes in and he says, you know, I'm going to go fight this guy. Saul gives him his armor. He said, I can't use that. So he goes out, and you know the story. He goes out against Goliath and he beats him. Because he knew his God. Because he knew God and he was following God's plan for his life. And so David knew this. He knew that God's word was proven. He put his life on the line. I mean, think about it. He walked. This is not just a story. The man walked out there against somebody that must have weighed many times as much as him. His spearhead weighed 15 pounds. You know, he goes out there and he's ready to die. If God's word isn't true, if he doesn't really know God, he's toast. But no, he knew God. And so he went out. He's the one that wrote this. He said, God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all those that look to him for protection. And that's what David did. He looked to him for protection. And so, you know, David goes out throughout this. This is a good thing to read, but he just says how it's God that set him here. It's God that helped me here. It's not me. He knew where his strength came from, and he was willing to follow God's plan for his life because he knew in and of himself he couldn't do it. And he became the king. But that's his heart's attitude. He knew who God was and that we needed to trust him. He knew it wasn't him. You know, John 15, 5, turn there quickly. John 15, 5. Jesus said this, John 15, 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, he who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. See, look at verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. See, know me. Look, like just like Proverbs said, seek my will in everything. Stay close to me. I'll show you. He says, abide me and I in you as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Jesus said it. You can't. See, I'm the vine. You're the branches. Without me, you can't bear fruit. Now, can you do things in life? Can you go get a job? Of course you can. Can you make money? Of course you can. Like I said, people are doing it. But are you going to bear fruit that's going to remain and going to be there for eternity? Are you going to do what God truly wants you to do unless you abide in him? We might do it to a measure. But the more we abide in him, the more we're going to bear fruit because we're abiding in him. We're getting, I mean, how silly would it be? It's just impossible. Once you cut off the branch from the vine, what's it going to do? It's going to wither and die. We know that. Yet, you know, that's what happens. It's not that, you know, God is never going to leave us nor forsake us, so it's not exactly the same thing, you know, in the new covenant. But the more we're, that's what we're talking about. If we know that, we know he paid the price. We know he wants the best life for us. And so we just go to him and get that and just seek his will. And the more we're tuned with what he wants us to do, and I'm not saying it's hard, no more than the branch has to try real hard to bear the fruit. No, he's just hooked up. The branch is just hooked up to the vine. The fruit comes out. So if we'll just be hooked up with him, he'll lead us and guide us if we know him and just look to him. Then these things that we're talking about will happen. He'll lead us and guide us in the best way for our life. Now let's turn to Hebrews 12 and we'll close there. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Somebody said it this way long, long time ago. Well-known person. And I wrote it down and I put it up on my wall back when I was a teenager. He said, if you'll put God's will first place in your life. He said, if you'll put God's word first place in your life and not be afraid of his will for your life, you're going to be happier and more prosperous than anything you could ever dream of. If you'll put God's word first place and not be afraid of his will for your life, you're going to be happier and more prosperous than anything that you could dream up. That person's name is known all over the world. Hebrews 12, verse 1. And I believe that's something that could speak to us today. We just need to look to him, know him. Hebrews 12, 1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Not before our neighbor, not before anybody else, not before somebody read about, but the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, we're surrounded This is reality. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. In heaven, we don't know everything about heaven. But like one person said, you know, you get the sense they can maybe tell what's going on spiritually. They don't maybe see everything naturally, every blow by blow. But there are people that are aware of what's going on the earth and the important things, the spiritual things. And it's like we have this great cloud of witnesses, like they're in the grandstands. And those people have gone on. They're not in the race anymore. They're with Jesus, but we're here. And God's got this pathway for our life and this race set before us. And we just want to run at it and go run our race with everything we have, with Him as our advisor, like we read in Psalms. That He'll lead us in the best pathway. See, it's like we just have a lane here. And this is the best pathway. And He's our advisor. We're getting the race from Him, getting the directions from Him. He said He would advise us. He said He'd watch over us. And we run with Jesus in our sights. And we look to Him. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. He's everything. We look to Him. We desire to know Him. We get His will for our life. We put our will aside and we run with everything we have with endurance down that pathway that He has set for us. And it will be the best and most glorious thing that we could ever imagine because it's His plan and He's seen it before we ever came into existence. Amen. Because we want to know Him. We want to do His will. We love Him. And we look to Him to bring it to pass and to get it done and to guide us and direct us. Amen.